ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిః ఓం. శుక్లాం వరధరం విష్ణుం శశివర్ణం చతుర్భుజం ప్రసన్నవదనం ధ్యాయేత్ సర్వవిఘ్నోపశాంతయే. సరస్వతి నమస్తుభ్యం వరదే కామరూపిణి. విద్యారంభం కరిష్యామి, సిద్ధిర్భవతు మే సదా. గురుర్బ్రహ్మా గురుర్విష్ణుర్ గురుర్దేవో మహేశ్వరః, గురుస్సాక్షాత్ పరం బ్రహ్మ తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః. సదాశివసమారంభాం శంకరాచార్యమ్యమాం అస్మదాచార్యపర్యంతాం వందే గురు పరంపరాం. సో వన్స్ అగైన్ విత్ నమస్కారం సెట్ ద ఫీట్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ ద ఆచార్యాస్ of our Guru Parampara. We will talk about the next topic in this class. So last time we were talking about the Yoga Darshana, right? So in Yoga Darshana we were talking about the Ashtanga Yoga in particular, and we have seen I think the first two, right? Yama and Niyama, did we see?
Yes, we were. Yama and Niyama, we
finished. So, Ashtanga Yoga, as I said, is a very effective and widely accepted practical way of sadhana to evolve into a better spiritual person. So for spiritual evolution, among all the darshanas, this Ashtanga Yoga practice has been accepted as a very effective practical sadhana. And this Ashtanga Yoga, as the name suggests, contains of 8 limbs, and they are Yama, Niyama, ఆసన, ప్రాణాయామ, ప్రత్యాహార, ధారణ, ధ్యాన అండ్ సమాధి. దీస్ ఆర్ ద 8 లింబ్స్ ఆఫ్ అష్టాంగ యోగా ప్రపోజ్డ్ బై సేజ్ పతంజలి ఇన్ హిస్ యోగ సూత్రాస్. అండ్ ద ఫస్ట్ వన్ ఈజ్ యమ, విచ్ ఆర్ ద మోరల్ imperatives. We can think of them as moral don'ts. So ahimsa, satya, asteya, next brahmacharya and aparigraha, right? So these are the 5 yamas. So these are the 5 do not do's, don'ts. So himsa varjanam, అసత్యవర్జనం, స్థేయవర్జనం అండ్ బ్రహ్మచర్యం. బ్రహ్మచర్యం ఈజ్ సెలిబసీ అండ్ అపరిగ్రహం. అపరిగ్రహం ఈజ్ నాన్ పొజెసివ్నెస్. అండ్ పతంజలి పుట్స్ ఎ లాట్ ఆఫ్ ఫోకస్ on these yamas, because these are the most external do's and don'ts. So before we can control our mind and our internal organs, we need to first start from the outside. And he is starting not even from the body level. The body level control starts only at the asana, which is the third step in the Ashtanga Yoga. And asana, pranayama, pratyahara, from there on he goes more internal in nature. So this yama and niyama are even external to the human body, which is our social personality, our ethical personality, our communicative personality, how we deal with other people in the society. The control, self-control starts from there. Then he comes to the body level and goes to the mental level later. So these five yamas, and then what are the five niyamas, which are do's? Shaucha, first one is shaucha, which is the purity, cleanliness of mind, speech and body. Then what is the second one? Santosha is contentment, acceptance, contentment and acceptance of circumstances and acceptance of people as they are, and having a sense of contentment with situations in life. And tapas, third is the tapas, which is perseverance, performing austerities, voluntarily giving up comforts in order to gain more discipline, is tapas. Swadhyaya is one's study of the shastras under a competent guru, and then further homework, study, self-reflection, etc. All comes under Swadhyaya. And finally, Ishvara Pranidhana is the fifth niyama, which is having devotion towards Ishvara. And as I said, these five are the yamas. And Patanjali also places a lot of emphasis on these yamas, niyamas. And especially out of all these five, he really focuses on Santosha and Ishvara Pranidhana. Ishvara Pranidhana and Santosha. And if you look at them together, having a devotional attitude towards Ishvara and being content with one's own possessions, one's own situation in life, and not having that grumbling, complaining attitude for everything, is really the key to happiness in life. And this is something we have seen earlier in Sadhana Panchakam also, where Shankaracharya was explaining along the same lines. And as I said, Karma Yoga, when we were talking about the theory of karma, and we touched upon Karma Yoga, wherein the expectation of a Karma Yogi is that he or she deals with the situations in life as a prasadam from Bhagavan, and whatever one does with body, mind and speech as offering back to Bhagavan. And once we cultivate this Karma Yoga attitude, the rest of the sadhana becomes much easier. And even if we do not perform the rest of the sadhana, we are not able to perform higher and higher, more complex sadhanas, if we fully integrate the Karma Yoga attitude in our life, that can almost diagonally change the way we feel about situations, and the way whether we feel happiness or sadness about whatever happens in our life. It completely changes, and that is the biggest source of happiness and the biggest source of contentment in one's life, that Karma Yoga attitude. That itself is half the victory in the battle towards moksha. Half the victory is gained at the Karma Yoga level only, because that is so difficult. That itself, developing that Karma Yoga attitude itself, is extremely difficult for a lot of people because of the conditioning that happened over multiple lifetimes. We came into this world conditioned to the fact that the happiness is in all these external objects, and the more objects that we accumulate, the more happy we will be. The costlier the objects are, the happier we will be. So that is the attitude we all are in, and the society cultivates such attitude also. You know, Acharya very beautifully summarizes this in one of the shlokas in Bhajagovindam. Angam galitam palitam mundam dashana vihinam jatam tundam vruddhoyati grihitvadandam tadapina munchati ashapindam. Angam galitam palitam mundam. Now the body has started to deteriorate. The hair has become white. Dashana vihinam jatam tundam. All the teeth have fallen out from the mouth. Vruddho yati grihitva dandam. One has to walk only with the help of a walking stick. Tadapi, even then, na munchati asha pindam. That asha will not go away. The trishna will not go away. And this is a fact. No matter how old we get, we somehow are unable to let go of our mental attachment. Even physically, whether we are able to enjoy things or not, that mental attachment will not go away. And that mental attachment is actually much more dangerous than being actually physically enjoying. So Krishna says, if you are in a position to enjoy things, you enjoy things, but don't get mentally attached. Look at them with a witness attitude is what Krishna is teaching all the way in Bhagavad Gita. There is another shlokam in Subhashitas. It sort of humorously explains this same concept. Now it says, Nishvo Vashtishatam. If, for somebody that does not have any money, 100 rupees is a lot of money. And he yearns to get that 100 rupees. Shati Dashashatam. Once he gets 100 rupees, he looks forward to get 1000 rupees. Dashashatam. Laksham Sahasradhipaha. Sahasradhipa is once he is an owner of a few thousand rupees, then he aims for laksham, 1 lakh. Then lakshesha kshitipalatam. Once he is the owner of a few lakhs of rupees, then in those olden days they said lakshesha kshitipalatam. Nowadays it's probably once you are a crorepati. Kshitipalatam, now you want power. You have money, now you want power. So Kshitipalatam is you want to become like a Jamindar in those days, or MLA or something in these these days. Lakshesha Kshitipalatam. Kshitipatihi Chakreshatam Vanchati. He does not stop there. He is not satisfied. He wants to become Chakresh Chakravarti. Chakravarti is a king. So king or prime minister or chief minister, whatever it is. Chakreshaha punarindratam. He is not satisfied with being a king here. He wants to do 100 Ashwamedha Yagas and become Indra and overthrow Indra from his chair itself. So this asha or trishna, see how it is going. Chakreshaha punarindratam. Now is Indra happy in his position? No. Surapatihi Brahmaspadam Vanchati or Brahmampadam Vanchati. He wants to become Brahmaji because Brahmaji lives much longer than Indra. Indra gets replaced once in a while and Brahma will live for till the end of 100 kalpas. So he wants to become Brahma. Brahma Shaivapadam Shivo Haripadam or Brahma Vishnupadam Harir Harapadam. Either way, it doesn't matter. So, Brahma wants to become Shiva, Shiva wants to become Vishnu. Or Brahma wants to become Vishnu, Vishnu wants to become Shiva. Trishnavadhim Kogataha is the shloka. Trishnavadhi. Avadhi means the end. The end of Trishna is, who knows? Who knows what the end of Trishna is? There is absolutely no end whatsoever to this Trishna. So we keep yearning and yearning for more, and the entire life is wasted in that pursuit. So learning to be content, learning to be santoshi, or having santosha, that attitude of santosha and contentment, is an extremely rare virtue, but an extremely important virtue to be happy. Because in this pursuit, as we keep getting more and more and becoming a higher and higher person in terms of prosperity, is the happiness increasing? That cannot be said so. Happiness is guaranteed, not guaranteed, with each promotion. More happiness is not guaranteed. The only way happiness is guaranteed is by having this santosha attitude. Whatever I have, whatever Bhagavan has given me, that is enough for me. I will live within those means and offer my services to Bhagavan. So Patanjali places a lot of emphasis on this, both Ishvara Pranidhana and Santosha for spiritual evolution. Because other sadhanas you can do whatever sadhana, but outside, when you don't have happiness with the possessions that you have, or with the situations, or with the people that are around you, you are constantly looking for change. And when you are constantly looking for change, your mind is constantly at unease. Because something does not seem right to you, and the mind is always focused on that, and mind is always uneasy. For the mind to quiet down, we need to learn how to have that santosha attitude. So that is the niyamas, yamas and niyamas. The third one is asana. Asana is a posture. So asana is a posture. So next, from the outside external social personality, now Patanjali is coming to the physical personality. The physical personality, he is saying, asana is the next yoga in the Ashtanga yoga. So next discipline to be followed. And we all know these asanas. In Hatha yoga, there are so many different types of asanas. All these yoga classes that go on, they teach all kinds of asanas. And each asana has a particular health benefit. But for spiritual advancement, certain asanas have been prescribed, like the Padmasana, the Siddhasana, Simhasana, Bhadrasana, etc. So one must practice those, because for the mind to be quiet, the body should be quiet, because body is grosser than the mind. Unless you quieten the body, once the body keeps moving here and there, the mind goes after it. The mind goes after it. I am reminded of this introduction, Mangalacharana Shlokam, from Natya Shastram by Bharata Muni. When Bharata Muni wrote his Natya Shastram, he wrote a beautiful shloka that sort of explains this same concept. He says, Yato Hastaha Tato Drishtihi. So, before beginning to explain the Bharatanatya Shastram, he explains the concept by saying, Yato Hastaha Tato Drishtihi. So, wherever the hands go, the drishti of the audience goes there. So, when the dancer is moving the limbs, the drishti of the audience goes there. Yato Hastaha Tato Drishtihi. Yato Drishtihi Tato Manaha. So where the drishti goes, the manas also goes there along with the drishti. Yato manaha tato bhavaha. So where the mind goes, the bhavam, the mental thoughts inside the mind go along with that. So yato hastaha tato drishtihi, yato drishtihi tato manaha, yato manaha tato bhavaha, yato bhavaha tato rasaha. He says rasa means enjoyment. So wherever the mental thoughts go, that is where the enjoyment is. and that's how he begins the introduction to Natya Shastra. So how, so it all starts from the physical level. So where the hand goes, the mind immediately goes there. So if you want to sit and meditate and the limbs are moving here and there, then you cannot concentrate because the mind immediately goes after those. So asana is extremely important, being able to sit in the correct posture. Earlier in the Bhagavad Gita class also, Krishna was talking about this, you know, samprekshana sikagram sundishaschana avalokayan. So that is all about the asana. So sthira sukham asanam is one of the yoga sutras of Patanjali. Sthira sukham asanam. So it should be sthiram and it should be sukham. So it should be comfortable and it should be stable. Then you are said to be in a good asana for further sadhana. Next, fourth one is pranayama. So after asana, it's pranayama. So any questions so far? Okay. So pranayama, so as most of us know, we do this in our pujas, pranayama. Pranayama is the control of breath. So from the physical level, now we are going into the prana, pranic personality. This is called the pranic personality. So the first one is the physical personality. This is the pranic personality. So our body is made up of different sheaths, different layers. And the physical layer is called the annamaya kosha. Annamaya kosha, that which is sustained by food. Then the second one is called pranamaya kosha, that which is sustained by our vital breath. That is the pranamaya kosha. So to control the pranamaya kosha, we need pranayama. To control the annamaya kosha, we need asana. So pranayama is the control of breath. So there is count, there are different types of pranayama. There are, you know, agarbha pranayama, sagarbha pranayama. There is, you know, all these kapalbhati, bhastrika pranayama, all these different types of pranayama that we learn in the yoga classes. And also, the pranayama that is performed is of many different types depending on the duration of the control of breath. For so much duration, you take the breath in. For so much duration, you hold it. For so much duration, you push the breath out. So all these calculations are there because all this has been developed into a very big science. And most of the yoga teachers claim that just by doing proper pranayama every day, we can be free of many of the diseases. So that's how powerful pranayama is, because most of the ailments are due to imbalance in the pranamaya kosha, So that is pranayama. After asana, pranayama is the next sadhana in the Ashtanga Yoga. Then pratyahara means, prati means against, and ahara means bringing near or fetching. So fetching something towards or against something else. And what is that? Pratyahara means drawing one's focus and attention and awareness inward. One's awareness and attention inward is called pratyahara. So pratyahara not only means the control of the senses, but the control of the mind also. So once we go through this yama, niyama, asana and pranayama, and we sit in an asana and we practice pranayama for a while, this pratyahara actually has to happen very naturally. So once the pranayama is done, the power of pranayama is such that it can just arrest the mind and keep it focused on whatever you want to concentrate on, and it will not let you waver. So if pranayama is done properly, then the mind will not waver at all. So that is why before, in the beginning of our pujas or any dhyana, you know, it is advised to do pranayama. At that point, then we can do digbandhanam. Digbandhanam is not let the mind wander anywhere else. So that is pratyahara. So after pranayama, pratyahara is the next limba. Then the next one is dharana. Dharana means concentration. So if you look at this sequence, this is a very logical sequence of sadhana. And one happening after the other in a very logical sequence. So once pranayama, pratyahara are done, the next one will be the concentration on the object of meditation. The concentration on the object of meditation is called dharana. A very intense focus and one-pointedness of mind on the object of our meditation is called dharana. And there are many techniques Acharya Patanjali here discusses in terms of how to improve one's dharana. So many techniques are discussed, and one such technique is mantra yoga, and which we are all familiar with. So when we are asked to do a mantra, so we are typically, you know, given the name and form of the deity to focus on while chanting the mantra, which will help in keeping our dharana focus. And the very act of chanting this mantra is to improve our dharana, our ability to concentrate on one object. Because the natural nature of the mind is to wander here and there, and any way we can control the mind and bring it back to one pointed attention, that is the aim of sadhana. In the very first Yoga Sutra, Patanjali defines yoga itself as yogaha chitta vritti nirodhaha. That is the definition of yoga. Given by Patanjali himself in the very first Yoga Sutra. Yogaha chitta vritti nirodhaha. So nirodhaha means to arrest. What chitta vritti? Vritti is a very technical term which is used in our shastras. It's used in many shastras, and especially in Vedanta Shastra, this word vritti is used a lot of times. So vritti means literally the shape of the mind. Shape of the mind. According to our shastras, when we see something, when we hear something, when we experience something through our senses, let us say, take an example. We are looking at a pot. When we are looking at a pot, we recognize that as the pot. And our mind extremely quickly processes it. It registers the shape of the pot, the color of the pot, all the other attributes of the pot, and says, you are looking at a pot. And our shastras say that it is not the mind that is registering an external object. The mind itself is taking the shape internally, figuratively, not physically, figuratively, taking the shape of the pot. And that is why you are able to then recall an earlier instance of the mind taking the same figurative shape, and now you are able to pattern match it, and now you are able to say, yes, this is a pot that my mind is seeing. So that figurative taking shape of the mind of the external object is called vritti. It is called vritti. So when we look at thousands of objects on every single day, So at every given instance, the mind is sort of figuratively changing shape according to our darshana shastras. It is changing shapes, and because of these changing shapes, we are able to recognize all these external materials. So when the mind is looking at a part, it is called ghatakara vritti. So that vritti, ghatakara vritti. So the mind is figuratively becoming into a ghatakara vritti. So that vritti is essentially what can be called as a thought in modern language, thought. So mind is nothing but a collection of innumerable number of thoughts, and arresting all these thoughts of the external objects and focusing the mind on a single object of concentration or meditation is what yoga is, according to Patanjali. Yogaha chitta vritti nirodha. That is what he means by that. Then finally, dhyana and samadhi. So in dhyana, dhyana is the next logical step from dharana. Dharana is concentration. Dhyana, when dharana is being done, then you have this duality. I am here and I am focusing on an object on which I am putting my concentration on. But when during dhyana, ideally if it is a perfect dhyana, then the one that meditates, the act of meditation and the meditator and the object of meditation, they all merge together and become one. So that is the ideal dhyana, where you do not see the difference between yourself and the object of meditation. You sort of figuratively again merge together, and there is no separate identity anymore, and that is dhyana. And finally, again, many techniques are again discussed by Patanjali in terms of how to do proper dhyana and what is the right approach and sequence to it. And finally, samadhi is the perfection of dhyana, perfection of the rest of the seven limbs. And samadhi literally means putting together, joining, combining, and union in a whole. So samadhi means oneness with the perfect oneness with the subject of meditation. Once the final step of dhyana is reached, that is what is samadhi. Samadhi. So we keep using this word samadhi. Samadhi means he is completely lost, absorbed in meditation, and he or she has no sense of the external world whatsoever. And there is only oneness. There is just oneness. And within this samadhi, again, technically speaking, in Yoga Sutras, there are many different categories of samadhi. You know, Savishesha Samadhi, Nirvishesha Samadhi, Savikalpa Samadhi, Nirvikalpa Samadhi, etc. So all these are different categories of how samadhi has been achieved, and what the final perfect state of samadhi means, Patanjali explains. And what Patanjali says is that, so for him, Kaivalya or Moksha means achieving this perfect stage of samadhi, where you are free from all the kleshas. Yoga Darshana is the one that first defines what kleshas are. Klesha means difficulties. It defines panchakleshas. Panchakleshas, five different difficulties that we encounter in our life spiritually, and overcoming those is the goal of this yoga. So in a very very broad way, this is what the Yoga Darshana is, and in a nutshell what the Ashtanga Yoga is about. And as I told you, Whereas Sankhya was the more theoretical system, Yoga is its practical counterpart. And Sankhya and Yoga sort of go together in defining this world in terms of the Prakriti and Purusha, and how to go from being a jiva to realizing Ishvara. This is how Sankhya and Yoga define their approaches. And I will probably just do a quick introduction of Nyaya and Vaisheshika, and then we'll stop. So before that, any questions on these?
Guru Garu, yeah. Two questions. What are the Pancha Kleshas?
Uh-huh.
How do we improve in this yoga, and to get, what are the practices we should do to get better in this?
So the first question, Pancha Kleshas. What are Pancha Kleshas? The names of Pancha Kleshas are Avidya, Asmita, Raga, Dvesha and Abhinivesha. So the first one is Avidya, second one is Asmita, third one is Raga, fourth one is Dvesha and fifth one is Abhinivesha. So what are they? Avidya. Avidya is the ignorance about the reality, about the true reality of Ishvara, or true reality of life. That is the Moola Klesha. That is the root klesha for all the other problems. Then asmita. Asmita means love of external objects. So the opposite of santosha that we talked about is asmita, love of external objects. This is the second klesha. Third one is raga. So asmita sort of develops into raga. Raga means attachment. Attachment to anything. Dvesha. Dvesha means, hating or dislike. So this like and dislike, the dual concepts of like and dislike. And then finally, Abhinivesha. Abhinivesha is the sort of fear. Fear that all these things will come to an end at some point, and especially the fear of death. Fear of death, fear of old age, fear of diseases. All these things come under Abhinivesha. So these put together are called Pancha Kleshas. And how to get better in yoga? Again, so since each of these Ashtanga yogas has been again further developed into a science by itself, so depending on how deep one wants to go, one can learn from the gurus. How to perform and get perfected in any of these Ashtanga yogas. So that is if you want to become perfect in the Ashtanga yoga itself. But since Vedanta looks at Ashtanga yoga more as a preparatory step than an end by itself, so what one can do, especially one who wants to go into the Vedanta marga, what one can do is, from the Vedanta guru, so one can learn to what extent one should practice each of these Ashtanga yogas. Because just with asanas you can spend all your lifetime and become perfect in Hatha yoga, so and spend all your life there. So depending on what your aim is and what the instructions of the guru are, one can sort of decide to what extent one can practice these Ashtanga yogas, and then go from there. So that approach the guru will tell. But to get better at any of these things, Krishna also says this in Bhagavad Gita, and Patanjali also says this in yoga, there are only two essential ingredients required, which are Abhyasa and Vairagya. So, along with Abhyasa and Vairagya only, any spiritual sadhana will fructify. Without Abhyasa is practice. Vairagya is slowly sort of detaching yourself mentally away from getting entangled too much into the world of external objects. So, which directly plugs back into the Santosha concept we talked about. So this Abhyasa and Vairagya are stipulated by all the Acharyas. And especially in Yoga Darshana, Patanjali puts a lot of focus on that. Good?
No.
Okay.
Like, if we want to think of this thing as like the path of the Vedanta,
uh-huh.
How, like, what are the things we minimum we need to practice, or like we need to understand and able to do uh-huh. on the yoga,
uh-huh.
be able to achieve? Because this thing, one of the things what we talked about is this is one of the things identified to attain the Vedanta.
The qualification required for Vedanta, yes.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. how far we need to know this and what are the things we need to have, like, learn to get into the Vedanta further.
Yeah, so I'll give you an example. Take asana, for example. So if you take asana, so if your aim is Brahma Vidya and getting into Vedanta, then you would probably identify one or two asanas that are conducive for you to be able to happily sit and meditate and focus. See, Vedanta is mostly mental exercise. So, for you to be able to do mental exercise, whatever asanam is minimally required. So, either Padmasana or Siddhasana or Simhasana, whatever it is. So, you would identify one or two asanas and practice those asanas and then move on to the next one. But if your aim is, 100%, physical health and, being able to live for beyond 100 years in this physical body or whatever. So that's all possible with yoga asanas. So you go more and more and more into that approach, and then where to stop is only decided by what you want to achieve. Because as we perfect more and more yoga, one thing Patanjali says is that those who perfect yoga will also get siddhis. These siddhis we talk about, the anima, the ashta siddhis, right? Anima, garima, mahima, lakima, all these ashta siddhis, these magical powers that are talked about in the shastras. So one who perfects this yoga sadhana can even get to those magical powers, but they will only become a hindrance if you truly want to get to the Vedanta and Brahma Vidya. But for each student, what exactly to do and what is the method to follow, the guru will teach.
Okay.
So anyway, I think we sort of ran out of time. So I will do Nyaya and Vaisheshika next time. But I hope you are at least taking some cursory notes and having a sort of a running notes and reviewing it, because this is a lot of technical information involved. This is unlike Itihasa or Purana. This is less of a story and more of information, more of a content, because this is Shastram, not Puranam. So you need to be able to sort of note down and recall a lot of information, which forms the basis of next lessons, next classes. So make sure you're doing that and taking quick notes or whatever, and then keep reviewing it so that it'll be useful further. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
പൂർണമദ പൂർണമിദം പൂർണാത് പൂർണമുദച്യതെ പൂർണസ്യ പൂർണമാദായ പൂർണമേവാവശിഷ്യതെ. ഓം ശാന്തി ശാന്തി ശാന്തി. ശ്രീ ഗുരുഭ്യോ നമഃ. ഹരി ഓം.
Thank you.
Okay.